From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George Thomas. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20, Jesus Christ said, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The red letter words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the eyes and the heart and the soul of some be open to the power that is in the blood-red words of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome. When I was down and out and in a very low point in my life some 30 years ago, I was out of a job, and for a while I had to live on the streets. I had a car, such as it was, but it was more than most living on the streets have. I could at least sleep in the back of that old Chevy jalopy, which I did on many a night. But a lot of nights I went to the Salvation Army wherever I was, and they would put me and others like me up in their free dorms. They would feed me and pray for me and support me while I was down. I have always had a soft spot for the Salvation Army, and for no good real reason other than to pass on to you what the Salvation Army is, I looked up the brief history of the Salvation Army. In 1865, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, along with his co-founder wife, Catherine, was invited to hold a series of evangelistic meetings in London. Thieves, prostitutes, gamblers, and drunkards were among Booth's first converts to Christianity. To congregations who were desperately poor, he preached hope and salvation. Listen to this. Many churches, however, did not accept Booth's followers because of their past. Known as the Hallelujah Army, the converts spread out of London to other cities. Booth was reading a printer's proof of the 1878 annual report when he noticed the statement, "The Christian mission is a volunteer army." Crossing out the words "Volunteer Army," he pinned in "Salvation Army." From those words came the basis of the foundation deed of the Salvation Army. And from that point, converts became soldiers of Christ and were known then as now as Salvationists. Meanwhile, the army was gaining a foothold here in the United States. They were ridiculed, they were arrested and attacked. Several officers and soldiers even gave their lives. President Grover Cleveland received a delegation of Salvation Army officers in 1886 and gave the organization a warm personal endorsement. The Salvation Army movement expanded rapidly and today is active in virtually every corner of the world. Evangelistic and social enterprises are maintained under the authority of the general by full-time officers and employees, as well as soldiers who give service in their free time. Leadership in the Army is provided by commissioned officers who are recognized ministers of religion. All Salvationists accept a disciplined and compassionate life of high moral standards, which includes abstinence from alcohol and tobacco. From its earliest days, the Army has accorded women equal opportunities, every rank and service being open to them. The international headquarters is located at 101 Queen Victoria Street in London, England. And the Army has thousands of churches, which they call corps or halls or citadels around the world. The ranks of the officers of the Salvation Army are, going from bottom to top, cadet, then lieutenant, and then captain, major, lieutenant colonel, commissioner, chief of staff, and then finally at the top is the general. Many organizations and churches and individuals embody the ideals of the Salvation Army, but few do it better than does the Salvation Army. So thank you, soldiers, officers, workers, and volunteers for your service to the Salvation Army, and may God continue to bless your worldwide mission. Today's Bible reading comes from the New Testament, the book of James, who is the brother of Jesus Christ. This is from the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, James the Just, the 5th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and His life shine in our hearts and in our souls. There are a lot of Bibles. I have Quick Verse on my computer, and that has at least 13 different translations of the Bible. In our home, Pat and I have probably 10 Bibles, at least, different translations from the Red Letter King James Version to the NIV Study Bible to the New Jerusalem Study Bible. Most of them have one thing in common, though. They are red letter Bibles, red letter editions. Now, what is a red letter Bible? Well, according to Wikipedia on the internet, the term red letter edition is used to describe Bibles in which words spoken by Jesus are printed in red ink. The red letter edition was invented by Louis Klopps, then editor of the Christian Herald magazine in 1899 and first published in 1900. This style of Bible instantly became popular and is sometimes favored by Christians right here in the United States. The idea of printing the words of Jesus in red originates in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, which says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which I shed for you." This inspired Klopps to ask his mentor what he thought of printing the words spoken by Jesus in red. Now, that's from the Wikipedia website. So what Jesus Christ said is printed in red, the color of His blood that He shed on the cross for you and for me and for all of us. There is a movement beginning here in the United States called the Red Letter Christians that are beginning to pay attention to what Jesus Christ said and to get this great nation back to following Jesus Christ rather than using the Bible as an instrument to keep certain undesirables out of church, out of the pulpit, and out of high office. My question today is, if, as the Wikipedia website is right about red-letter Bibles being used a lot here in the United States, why are we not paying more attention to and doing the central core commands of what Jesus Christ said? Here are the three central core commands from Jesus to us, written in red, the color of His blood. They are: love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another. Love your enemies is found in three places in the gospel. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus Christ said in blood red words, "Love your enemies." He said from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, as I turn the page here, He said, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." From Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus Christ said again in His blood written in red, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And then again from Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus Christ said again in His blood written in red, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." Jesus Christ said for us to love our neighbor as ourselves three times in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, again in red letters, Jesus Christ said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, again in red letters, when asked what was the greatest of all the commands of God, Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, Jesus Christ was asked the same question. The Bible says, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus Christ answered, and here is where the blood-red words of what Jesus Christ said begins. The first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the third great core commandment from Jesus Christ is found written in red letters in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus Christ said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And again, John, writing in chapter 15, verse 17, quotes Jesus Christ, written in blood red, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what Jesus Christ told us, written in the color of his blood that he shed for all of us, all over the world, for us to understand and for all of us to follow. Love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another. So my question today is, why do we have churches worldwide, but especially here in America, that say they are Christian, say they follow the literal interpretation of the Bible, and yet they don't follow these three core commandments from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have churches that turn away people because they believe they have sinned too much, that they are not fit to be in their church. That sounds more like a country club to me. They won't marry those folks. They won't bury those folks. They won't let them socialize. They won't let some of them into the pulpit or into positions of power in their churches. And yet they say they are following Jesus Christ. They shun pastors who for years have pointed out from the pulpit problems, social problems that exist in this great nation of ours. They call them radicals and revolutionaries and sometimes accuse them of being communist and anti-American and unpatriotic and set the machinery of our government off to spy on them. Just this past week, America mourned the 40th anniversary of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. And yet during his lifetime, we now know that the FBI checked on Dr. King and spied on him. Do you think today that after a seven-year reign of power of warmongers in Washington, D.C., we don't have a government agent? We don't have government agents looking at those of us who publicly oppose this war in Iraq? I don't see very many churches and Christians, my fellow Christians, following the words Jesus Christ wrote down for us in his blood. I don't see it at all. Not at all do I see it. One of the things I'm told by non-Christians and Christians who don't follow the red letter words of what Jesus Christ said is that we have to fight as a nation. That it's not practical to live in the world as it is today without a large navy and a large air force and a large volunteer army. Well, I don't argue with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ tells us to love our enemies, I do not get on my knees and argue with God. Now, looky here, God. I'm an ex-Marine, and I know that only guns and firepower and force of arms is what these radicals in the Middle East understand. They want to take away our freedoms. God is looking on those who make that argument and laughing. Don't you believe God has the power to protect America? If you don't believe that, then why on earth are we having as a national motto, "In God We Trust"? When Jesus Christ said in blood-red letters to love one another, I do not get on my knees and argue with God in prayer saying, now look, God, all this kumbaya business is fine, but these people are dumb, dumb, dumb. They are dragging us down, sitting at home on their backsides waiting for the government check to come from Uncle Sugar every month. I've worked hard for my money, and you want me to keep somebody in cheap wine for the rest of his life? God is looking on those who may make that argument and laughing. Or maybe God is really crying. Do you believe Jesus Christ said in blood-red letters, love one another is a joke? Do you think he hung on that cross and died for us as a jest? A lot of Americans turned their backs on those sinners that the Salvation Army went out of their way to preach to and save and feed and put up for the night and pray for. How about the illegal aliens who desire nothing but the freedoms we take for granted? Those same people, some of whom are leaders in our churches, turn away from the human misery going on today. It's the same way that many well-off Americans turn their backs on the Okies of the 1930s Dust Bowls. John Steinbeck, in his wonderful book, The Grapes of Wrath, chronicled in fictional form one family who went west seeking a new life, a life of our American freedoms. So what is it about America that we love? I often wonder about people when they stick out their chest, as I do, in pride at a parade as Old Glory passes by, and we have that lump in our throats. But I wonder about these people who don't follow the red letter edition of the Bible. What is it they love about America? These are, for the most part, Christian Americans who have lost their way and no longer follow the red letter teachings of Jesus Christ. I wonder if they don't love their neighbors or love one another or love their enemies as Jesus Christ commanded us. Just what do they love? What about America do they love? What about my country do they love? They certainly don't love me. I'm a liberal, and to some of them, I'm the worst kind of sinner. Certainly, I'm not a Christian, or I would be like them, thinking like them, believing all they believe about Christ and church and Christianity. So if they love America but don't love me, a native-born American, then what are they talking about when they say with pride, with that gasp in their breath, I love America? What America are they talking about? What commands from Christ are they talking about? They don't love they didn't love the Okies of the 30s. They don't love black people. They don't love brown people. They don't love the ill or the poor or the old or the infirm. They don't want women in positions of power. So that part of America they don't love, but they love America. They love John Wayne and Charlton Heston and the National Rifle Association, but they don't love the ACLU. Now, that's the American Civil Liberties Union, which fights for all of our constitutional laws and rights and freedoms. They don't love the ACLU, America. So I'm searching for what America it is that they love when they stand at that ball game and take off their baseball caps and sing our national anthem with pride. They don't love me, and they don't love any liberal church. And the Catholics have been on notice for years. There are whole American cities these people who love America don't love. They don't seem to love New Orleans or Detroit or Washington, D.C. And just in case you believe they're racist, they don't love that bastion of sin, New York City. And Los Angeles, watch out, that's the home of the movie industry. And boy, they really don't love L.A. or the movie industry, or as far as I can tell, they don't love anything about California. That's a whole state of the United States that they don't love America about. Their pride in America is not to be questioned, though. They'll fight you at the drop of a hat if you even suggest their patriotism may be a little bit off. They certainly don't love one of our freedoms that our forefathers fought for, the freedom of the press. They hate the so-called mainstream media. It isn't Fox News. It's not real. It's made up by the liberal left to surrender to the enemy. Ask one of those super patriots who's a Christian if he or she loves our government or our public schools. They never heard Jesus Christ say in big, bold, bloody red letters to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. They don't love any government except the ones that give them tax breaks to the wealthy, thinking it raises all boats in the harbor. Well, that kind of thinking raises all yachts in the harbor. They don't love our government, and they certainly don't love our public schools. Witness all the church schools that have been springing up over the past 20 years or so. And all the fine, upstanding Christian men and women who have spoken about family values and have gotten themselves elected to local school boards all across our America. Watch them as they tear down our public institutions of learning. Ever wonder why kids nowadays have no idea where Europe is? They just might be found in the local school board leadership or lack of it, or of those super patriots who love America but can't stand our public schools. I'm still searching for what they love about America. If they don't love what Jesus Christ told us to do, what is it they love? I would imagine that they, like the most of us, love our natural beauty, that God-given beauty that we try to preserve in our national parks. But hold on just a moment. Our national parks have been underfunded and under attack for the last 25 years, and business interests have repeatedly tried to get our government to let them drill or log or somehow tear up our national treasures, our outdoors they say they love about America. So if they love making a buck over the beauty of our nation that God gave to us for safekeeping, then what is it about America that they really, truly do love? And I believe I found it. They love the American dollar. That's it. That's what they love. That's what makes their blood pump and their hearts grow warm at the as the Star Spangled Banner is played on our football or baseball fields. Those fields of green that have been built, by the way, for wealthy club owners with taxpayer funds at the expense of more and better public schools and free public roads and good public transportation and less punitive and racist prisons and more healing hospitals with access for all Americans. But pay attention to what our Bible reading was today from the brother of Jesus Christ. James said, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've laid up treasure in the last days, and behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You've fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person." That's from the book of James, chapter 5. I've wondered if you can't follow the commands of Jesus Christ and you don't love our country, but you say you do, where are we as a nation and as Christians? As far as I can tell, there are Christian churches, entire denominations that they don't love, and yet Jesus Christ told us, commanded us to love one another. We've seen today where that is found in the Bible. Jesus Christ wrote it for us with his blood on the cross, and we can find it in our Bibles all over the world and across our God-blessed America. Red-letter Christians are leading us out of this dilemma, out of this dilemma. Red letter Christians, you put me down as a member of that flock. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil and the sinful world, or if you're backslidden, you're a Christian but not a red-letter Christian, then you sit down on your knees right now. Get down on your knees right now and pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars all over the world go home safely. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the interdenominational worship services this morning, and all of our shut-ins joining us no matter where you are. Several of you are listening to us on the Internet. Thank you so much. You're a blessing to Pat and me. I don't know how to ask for money or to continue our ministry, and I don't feel comfortable asking for money, but I have to swallow my pride and I have to ask for your help. The Jesus Christ Said Ministry preaches 3 weeks a month at the Manor Care Nursing Home. We're here on the radio every Sunday, and that cost they don't give us this time. It is very expensive. We don't take up a collection as they do at a regular church. We don't send out all those mailers like they do at the glitzy TV evangelist shows. We just preach what Jesus Christ said in red letters, what he said to a hurting and a seeking world. But we need your help. And you have to do it on your own. On your own. You have to somehow find it in your heart to help us. Send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry. Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song fits in with our message of Red Letter Christians. Here's Mahalia Jackson, and There's Power in the Blood.
From your bird, I'm no sin. There is power in the blood, power in the blood. But you all people are victory to win. There is wonder work and power in the blood. Lord, there is power, power, wonder work and power in the blood of the Lamb. Service of Jesus, your King. There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily, praise His holy name. There is wondrous work and power in the blood. Lord, there is power, power, wondrous work and power in the blood.
That's Mahalia Jackson, and there is power, power, power in the blood. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.